Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, BethelStratford.org.
Today we're going to finish our summer series on Sunday School Summer, where we have been rehearing old stories in a new way. How many of you have got something out of this summer series? Kind of some fresh thoughts of stories that you're like, oh, they're telling this story I know, and then a light bulb moment. This morning, I want to talk to you about a story that is kind of good for when we think about the barbecue we're going to have today. I want to talk to you about the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. Now, for some of us, we might be like, oh yeah, Jesus fed 5,000. So this is a miracle, and it's the only miracle. So I want you to draw your attention here. This is the only miracle that every gospel records except for the resurrection of Christ. So I know when we think about him feeding the 5,000, it might not rate high on your thing, but it was high enough that every one of the apostles that wrote a gospels, they wrote about this miracle and they wrote about the resurrection of Christ. All the other ones are kind of like sporadic. They might write in one, but not in the other. This is the only one. Now, as we get into this, we have to realize it's in Matthew 14. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, turn to Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, he tells us about the feeding the 5,000, but he's the only one that really goes into a lot of detail to give us a lead up to what's happening. And so in the beginning of Matthew 14, what we hear is that Herod is having a party. Herod's having a party, and at this party, his girlfriend or his wife's daughter begins to come and dance. But now here's what you have to realize. At this moment, John the Baptist is in prison. But here's the amazing thing that I wasn't aware of. I think I probably read it, but some of you, if you're reading, you kind of skim through. When you see that John the Baptist was in prison, here's what you have to realize. He was not in prison for preaching the gospel. He was not in prison for telling you about Jesus, which I think, I don't know, I just kind of gave it up that he's in prison because he was talking about Jesus. No, he went to prison because he spoke out about the fact that Herod was in a relationship with his brother's wife. Not John's brother, Herod's brother. Herod was dating his brother's wife. And so John the Baptist was the one speaking out going, this isn't cool, this isn't okay. So because of that, instead of the Herod the king saying, you know what, maybe I should not date my brother's wife, he said, you know what, I'm just going to throw you in prison. So while he's in prison, he's nervous. Herod doesn't want to kill John the Baptist because he believes that some of them believe he's a prophet, and they're like, oh, I don't want to cause a whole uproar about this. And so at his party, his girlfriend's daughter dances, and he's so impressed with her dance that he says, hey, I'll tell you what, you tell me whatever you want and I will give it to you. Whatever you want, you tell me. And she goes, and it says in scripture, by the prompting of her mom, she says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. We're not serving that later today. It's just hamburgers and corn. But could you imagine being at a party like this and the worship band did a great job and all of a sudden we're like, man, Arlena, you sang so fantastic. We're going to give you whatever you want. And she's like, I want that guy's head. This is scripture. This is Bible. These are the stories we don't tell in Sunday school. I apologize that all the kids are out here with us. But this is scripture. So he takes John the Baptist's head and is brought to the party on a platter. So John the Baptist's disciples, they take his body, they go and bury it, and then they go and tell Jesus. It's at this point where we find out that when Jesus finds out what happens, if you look at Matthew 14, 13, it says this, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So when Jesus heard what happened to his cousin, he needed some time. He needed some time. And so the thing that we learned through this is that every one of us needs time. Every one of you needs time to process things that happen in life. So there's times in your life where something's going to happen and you're going to have to take time to process it and figure out. You might need to draw away by yourself. We see Jesus taking time. This is why he got in the boat. This is why he left, because he needed time to himself. He needed time to figure out what was going on. So I have a question for you this morning. When something happens to you, what do you do to relax, to recharge? What are some of the things that you do? I'm asking. Go ahead. Yell at me. Read a book. Take a walk. Do devotions. Go to bed. Have a bath. Go for a walk. Eat ice cream. Somebody is speaking my love language. Read the Bible. Sleeping. Amen. Ice cream and sleeping. That's what stood out to me in this whole conversation. See, we all need things to recharge and find ourselves and get back to where we're supposed to be when something happens in our lives. Now, here's the interesting thing, and this is going to push some of you, and I apologize, but I want to show you that something happens. It says in verse 14, when Jesus landed, so realize, as they get in this boat, people see him, people know what he's doing, and as the boat's going across, they're following around on the shore. They can see him. And Jesus is just literally going, I just need some time to process here. My cousin just lost his head. And when he lands on the shore on the other side, the scripture tells us when Jesus landed and saw a crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So here's what this teaches me. Compassion changes us and others. Compassion changes us and others. See, what you have to realize is Jesus is still in his mourning season. He's still in the season of processing. He's still in the season of trying to figure out what just happened. This is the same day. This isn't a long boat ride where it's for weeks. This is the same day. And all of a sudden, his compassion for others pushes him to do something. It pushes him to do something. See, the compassion changed him, and it changed those he healed. Because of the compassion he had for others, it made him heal other people. See, some of us, myself included, we need to pray for God's compassion for people. Jesus' compassion. There's a basketball and a football there. We're going to get to that later. His compassion changed his heart. Jesus' compassion for others can change communities. I want you to imagine for a minute, if you ask Jesus to speak to your heart, to allow you to see other people through his eyes. When you see something that you disagree with, when you see something that doesn't line up with Scripture, even though that person has no idea what the Scripture says or hasn't made a commitment to follow Scripture anyway. If we had eyes to see them the way Jesus sees them, how would that change Stratford? How would that change St. Mary's? How would our hearts of compassion change if we began to see other people through Jesus' eyes? What would that do to our own hearts? First off, it'll soften our hearts. It'll allow us to see people. See, what you have to realize is now Jesus, as he's teaching and healing people, the disciples start to get hungry. His disciples start to get hungry, and they're trying to figure out when Jesus is going to stop so they can get something to eat. Some of you right now, you're trying to get your kids to be quiet because they're trying to figure out when Pastor Chad's going to stop talking so they can get to the barbecue. The disciples, I believe, as much as they come to him and they say, they come to him in verse 8, 15 and 16, the evening was approaching, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, it's already getting late, send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. I got to be honest, he's got 12 young guys with him. I honestly believe they're using the crowd as an excuse and not just confessing to Jesus, we're hungry. and we don't see any food around here. Can we go get something to eat? Can you stop teaching? So Jesus, instead of saying to them, right, we should probably dismiss the crowd, let them go and do their thing and find some food, Jesus continues in verse 16. He says this, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Remember, Jesus' disciples are on one side, and all of a sudden they find out what happened to John the Baptist, and Jesus says, okay, let's get in the boat, let's go, I need some quiet time. Nobody said, pack a lunch. Nobody said, bring food for 5,000. They got in the boat and they went. On the other side, he says to them, you find something, you feed them. Only Mark 6 and John 6 show how the disciples look through the crowd. Now, let me ask you a question. When you go on a beach day, when you go away for a beach day, what's your favorite snack to bring? Chips? Ice cream? You bring ice cream to the beach? Pizza? How do you bring pizza to the beach? These are snacks I'm confused by. Watermelon? Popcorn? Cheese? Adults, come on, you're letting all the kids. What are some of your things you like to bring? Watermelon, granola bars, peaches. See, now I know parents are yelling. Granola bars and peaches. Hamburgers, hot dogs. So here they go through this crowd and they find a kid. They find a boy. And this is what he has. It says Matthew 14, verse 17. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they answered. See, I'm surprised that nobody yelled out, when we go to the beach, we like to pack sardines and bread. You have to realize, he says 2 fish and bread. So I'm talking like he packs sardines and bread. How many kids are hoping that on Wednesday, when you head back to school, your parents pack you sardines and bread for lunch? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody? Okay, I didn't think so. My question for you this morning is, did anybody, you come to an outdoor service, did anybody bring some fish with them? Did anybody bring a snack? What do you have? Can I see it? Bring it up. What do you got, Ava? No, you're not, Ava. Abea, sorry. I don't read well. You have fishes. Do you think you have enough fishes to feed everybody? Here, look. You think you have everybody looked after? No. What if we prayed? Do you think Jesus could do something? Now, here's the thing. I only have one disciple. I need 11 more. If I can get 11 kids to come up here, without running me over, just come. 11 kids. Faster you move, faster we get to bouncy castles. You guys are running the wrong way. All right, let's see if we got enough. All right, so slow up here, hold up. Parents, you're supposed to help me count here. I have a hard time reading. All right, so here's what I want to do. We're going to pray, and then we're going to see if God can multiply. Do you think he can? Yeah. All right, Father, we thank you for goldfish. We thank you, Lord, for fishes and bread that turn together and become one. And Lord, we ask you to multiply it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I actually need like 12. Who can... Man, this was really more difficult than I anticipated. You know when you plan an illustration and all of a sudden it goes sideways? This is it, right here. One more, here we go. All right. Who here has a sibling beside them? Where's one family? If you're a family, raise your hand together. If you're all here as a family, raise your hand together. So stand, I have no idea what I'm doing. All right.
You want some chips?
No, I don't need chips. What I need you guys to do is this. not eat them, you're going to give them away. So there, if you think you're going to eat them and not be able to give them away, you're disqualified. The disciples gave it away first. You brought snacks.
Yep.
You can keep your snacks. We're going to hand these out. Do you want to take those? Do you have a brother and sister up here?
I do have a brother, but he's at home.
He's at home? Why don't you start? Why don't you take these two girls with you?
Can I grab a
bowl? Max, you can take a bowl with your brother. Do you want to go with them? All right. No, I don't need the chips. I appreciate it, though. Sophie, would you take a group with you? Jude, would you take a group with you? Do you guys want to go with him? Foster, you want to go with him? Nah? You want to take your own? All right, you and Kian and Landon, you guys go together. All right? Do you guys, Vaya, I got to get you to go. You brought up. You jump in with Vaya. All right? And you guys want to help them? Help them pass them out. Take them to everybody and make sure everybody gets a goldfish. So adults, I'm asking you to grab a goldfish. Help the kids as they come around. Do you want to go help them? Go find some buckets and find parents that don't have one. Okay? Here. Take that around. See if some parents will take some of those. So as the kids are passing out food, we have to realize a couple things about this story. Jesus took what this young boy had. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he passed it out. He told everybody to sit down. See, here's what we have to realize about this story. If you were sitting here, we probably have around 250 to 300 people here. If all of a sudden I pulled out two sardines and five small loaves of bread, how many of you would believe we could feed all of you? A couple people. But most of you would be like the 5,000. Now, here's what you have to understand. We say 5,000. They only counted the men. So there was 5,000 men plus women and children. So in my mind, you're already jumping to over 10,000 people with two fish, five loaves. Nobody believes this is going to work. Nobody. You have to be honest. For me to stand here and be like, we got two sardines and five loaves of bread, none of you are going to go, that'll feed all of us. All of you are like, what is the point? Now, here's what you have to realize. Do you ever wonder if there was other people in the crowd that had food? Do you ever wonder if somebody else had food, but their thought process was, I have two sardines and a few loaves of bread. It's not going to do anything, so I'm going to stay quiet. It took the faith of a young boy to go, I have some food. I have some food. You ever wonder if they sat there and they're like, I have food, but there's nothing he can do with it. There's too much. It's too little. What I have isn't enough. So I just sit quietly. See, the boy gave Jesus just what he had in his hands. Just what he had in his hands. So what do you have that Jesus needs? What do you have that Jesus needs? See, what we learn in this story is this. Everyone has something. Every one of you has something. What do you have in your hands? What do you have in your life? What is Jesus asking you for that you think won't make a difference? Did everybody get goldfish yet? Who hasn't got a goldfish yet? Wave your hands. There's some people over here that need some fish. Anybody over here haven't got a goldfish? Don't lie. Everybody on this side has a goldfish? Our tech team is waving, going, hey, we've been here from 6:30. Can we have some goldfish? What we learn is this. Everybody has something. Everybody has something. The problem is most of us don't think what we have is worth anything. See, what you have to realize, this basketball is probably, we probably bought it for around $35. That's what this ball's worth. I watched a reel on Instagram, and this guy was talking about this, and he said, this ball in my hands is worth $35. It's actually pretty beat up, so you're probably mostly going to give me $5 for it. But if I put this ball in the hands of LeBron or Jordan, this ball is worth millions. It's worth millions. Just a football. Just a football. Football probably costs $20, give or take, maybe free. You put this in the hands of Tom Brady and it's worth millions. It's worth millions. See, what puts value on something is whose hands is it in? Two sardines, five loaves of bread. You're right. It's not much. But you put it in the hands of Jesus, and it can feed over 10,000 people.
No, I didn't get any.
You didn't get any? You go ahead and grab some. You just pass them out. You want to just take that whole baggie with you?
Okay.
Yeah, you take it. It's yours. See, here's what you have to understand with Jesus. You give me a slingshot, it's just a kid's toy. But you put a slingshot in King David's hand, because of who God is, and you can slay a giant. What do you have in your hands that you think isn't anything, but with Jesus, it turns into something? See, everyone has something. What do you have that you just need to give to Jesus and see what he can do with it? Can you trust Jesus with what you have? You can trust Jesus with your life. You can trust him with everything. The question this morning is, will you give it to him? Let's pray. Just as I talk about trusting Jesus with anything and talk about trusting Jesus with your life, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ before as your Lord and Savior, but this morning you want to say, I want to give my heart to the Father. I know it's time to trust him with everything. If that's you and you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that this morning, I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand and I'm just going to pray with you. If that's you in this place and you want to accept Jesus, just raise your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to accept Jesus for the first time? Thank you. Now, maybe you're here and you've accepted Jesus before, but this morning you realize, Chad, I've just been away from him. I just need to get back on track and recommit my life to the Lord. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I want everybody that's here just to repeat this prayer after me. Whether you raise your hand or not, I just want you to say this prayer after me. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. This morning, I give you everything I have. I give you my life. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Give me the strength to walk with Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give them a hand?
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.